I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern-day Asian-American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Mel.
So in last week's episode, we talk about Hot Girl Summer. And Jan and I have been talking a lot about, you know, things we're looking forward to as the single ladies of the ABG trio this upcoming summer. And, you know, there has been some activity on the dating front for us now that everything's opening up.
Yeah, so today's episode is just going to be Mel and myself talking about the ups and downs of dating as single women during post-quarantine as things are opening up in LA.
Yeah.
So Helen will be back on next week's episode.
Yes.
But like Mel said, things opened up in LA just in the middle of June. So, you know, it's very fresh.
Yes.
And we've noticed that both of our, I mean, there's been quite a bit of activity on the dating apps. Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't say I am having a lot of activity. I have activity. Like, versus, I know Janet's been talking to more people. I will say though, it's funny because whenever we talk about dating with, like, you know, Helen or Phil or any of our other friends, Helen's like, I am so happy I'm not on the dating apps
in that world anymore. Yeah.
And I was like, girl, you are so lucky right now.
Yeah.
But we thought it'd be kind of fun to share, you know, our recent activities on the apps and see if any of y'all relate to it. Like, what are your stories? We just want to hear more things about dating because we're about to enter that world again.
Yeah. I feel like we're coming out of hibernation after a year of kind of trying to date. But let's be honest, for the most part, it was kind of like tricky, right?
Uh-huh.
And Mel, you recently, so walk us through, she actually went on a physical date. I have not gone on a physical in-person date yet. So what app was this on?
Okay, so I'm the most active on Hinge.
Okay.
And I am fully vaccinated, by the way.
Yes.
We both are. And so honestly, I'll be real. Well, quickly, let me share a little history about dating.
Yeah.
I don't know if I actually talked about this, Janet, but like, I did go, my last date was 7 months ago.
Oh my gosh. Over half a year.
I know. It was a long time ago. And that was also like in person, but we were like, you know, socially distanced and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the embarrassing thing that I actually never shared, I don't know if I did on this podcast, but so the date ended around midnight. You know, we did, ended it later.
Drinks and bites, right?
No, we just got drinks and then, we're walking to my car or I thought where my car was and literally my car got towed.
Oh, welcome to LA. This is LA living right there.
And but just kind of like, this is
at
dating.
Midnight too.
I know. Yeah, and so I was like, shit. So then thankfully at that moment, Helen and Janet both texted me saying, oh my God, how's your date going? Let us know. And literally all I said to them was like, my car got towed. And thankfully I have such a good friend like Janet. She was like, where are you? I'll pick you up right now. So Janet picked me up like a mom and my date was there. And
yeah, I literally pulled up and I'm like looking at the shadows and it's like my daughter.
Yeah.
I see this tall figure of this guy. I'm like, okay, he's like at least standing on the, he's looking out for her. You know, he didn't just like go in his Uber or whatever.
So she went to help me get my car, but that was 7 months ago. And I wasn't scarred by that event, but I think after that, I was like, you know what? I'll take a break from the app.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think naturally as, you know, spring started and like the sunshine's shining through, I feel like I find myself more on the apps.
Yeah.
Like I'm definitely swiping, you know, every day, but I don't take it that seriously as much anymore. So I'm just like, okay, I'll just swipe for a few minutes here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say that my activity or the guys I'm getting are just very, I'm getting a lot of more like international guys.
Oh,
that okay. don't actually speak English.
Oh my God. The guys that type to you in Mandarin.
Yeah, in Chinese.
In Chinese, yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, I mean, I don't know how to, I literally, there's one time I was like, you're cute. I just don't know how to, like, I can't
what
speak.
What are you saying?
I can't, how do I speak to you? Yeah, exactly. So, but I actually got, matched up with a guy who was American too.
Okay.
So he was Asian American. And I was like, okay, maybe, yeah, maybe, you know, I find this guy attractive.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm very in the, like I said in last week's episode, I'm in the more like, I want to enjoy the summer.
Yeah.
You know, so I was more open to like meeting him in person sooner than later.
Yes.
And also I was talking to my other single guy friend. He was like, Mel, enough of this chit chat. Just like ask to go on drinks or get drinks now, because it's just like guys hate wasting their time on the apps.
This is true. Mel has been in a couple of different like exchanges or connections where she, you do kind of have a good amount of conversation with them, right?
I do. It's just, you know, I learned this from you too, Jay. But I'm someone that I do like to like text for maybe a day or so just to kind of gauge of like, am I interested? Is there a banter?
Yeah.
And then sometimes I prefer a phone call, which is why I didn't mind dating during the pandemic. But I think right now I'm just like,
you're trying something different.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was the one, he said something really nice to me. He's like, you have a nice smile. I was like, oh, that's really sweet of you.
Yeah.
So we're making some small talk. And then at that point when my friend's like, Mel, cut the chit chat, just ask for like a date. So I just said, hey, like, it'd be nice to grab drinks next week. Are you free? Or something along those lines. So I made the first move.
There's a bit of nuance to the conversation or how it was asked, because he had something in his profile and I think you had called it out and he's like, oh, it'd be nice if I can show you sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had already insinuated he wants to meet up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you were sharing this text with all of your single friends. Almost all of us, the unanimous thing was like, okay, he's definitely interested or he wants to meet up for sure.
Yeah,
he's
interested
in meeting up. So all you did was then like open the door for him, be like, okay, yeah, let's meet up. Like, how about over drinks next week or something like that?
Yeah. So I definitely like took his like little like breadcrumbs and I gave him the basket. I did initiate the date. And so my thing is that if I'm already the person saying, hey, let's meet up, I want to put the ball in your court and say, hey, why don't you choose a place?
Yes.
Because Janet and I, we talk about this a lot, but I think for our day-to-day jobs, we do a lot of planning.
We plan
podcast recording, shoots, whatever. And so it'd be nice for a change to have someone plan just even a dinner or drinks for us.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like you always have to plan something. It's just more like, it's just a nice change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, Mel, you're naturally, I personally, my thing is I love the guy to take the lead on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Mel, you actually are, you enjoy kind of doing the planning and stuff sometimes in your personal life, right?
I do.
But I think in this case, it's more like, to kind of like, this would be a nice thing that a guy can do for you that is you're not trying to gauge for a characteristic of a planner, but it's like if you want to win her over, this is a nice thing that you do extend, right?
Yeah.
Versus I'm looking for someone, I'm kind of like, I kind of need you to be able to plan more because I actually don't really like to do it that often.
That makes sense. Yeah, so I asked him, like, hey, why don't you choose a place? So he's like, yeah, great, I'll let you know. And then we didn't talk for a week because that was like...
A week is a long time.
I mean, like 5 days, but it's because like there's nothing much to talk about until we actually meet. So I understood that. I didn't care. But then the night before, he was like, hey, what time are you free tomorrow? And I was like, oh, I'm free at 7. Then I asked him, I was like, hey, did you find a place yet?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, no. But I'm thinking somewhere casual. And then he's like, what's around your area? And to be honest, when I saw that statement, I was a little bummed out. I was like, dang, I literally asked him to plan and he didn't like just... I was like, you could even just go to like Ralph's and pick up like a... Honestly, you go to Ralph's, pick up some LaCroix and choose a park. Like, I'm really like so simple when it comes to just like finding something to do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't judge it like exactly like the
place.
Yeah,
you're not picky about the plan, but you want him to take initiative.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And then I think, you know, maybe this is... Y'all, guys, if you're listening, I'll be real. Like, we shared messages to kind of gauge, you know.
Yeah.
So I was texting Janet and my two other single guy friends. We have like a singles chat. And I was like... I literally said, oh, he didn't choose a place. And then Janet goes, oh, like you said to me, like, oh man, like, I'm sorry, Melly. I know you like a guy who shows not intention. Is it intention?
Takes initiative to do. Yeah.
But I felt bad because then like I was texting my other guy friend and I was like, hey, just call me out on this. Like, am I asking for too much?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I understand maybe he's being considerate where I live or making it inconvenient for me. And my other guy friend's like, no, to be honest, Mel, like, I plan like 80% of my dates. Like, yeah. I just like to take the lead just because I feel like, I don't want to say it's like gender or whatever, but like, I think guys like to like show the girl or whatever, like they can
he's
do
in control that he can do that or he can take care of her.
Maybe, yeah. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so what I said back to him, I was like, I said, because I actually don't go out in my area. You guys know me. I usually go to you guys when we yeah. hang out. And so I was like, hey, like, I don't go out. Like, is there anywhere you want to explore that's different? And then this is a line that everyone's like, oh, he responds back to me saying like, why don't you come over to my place or I go to your place for drinks? Mm-hmm. And I think already in my head is like, this is a red flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because not, you don't, putting the girl in a position where on a first date, it's not in a public space does not feel safe.
It doesn't feel safe. Yeah. And, but here's the thing. I understand like if it's during the pandemic or like whatever, like maybe like y'all know some people are like wanting to meet up during the pandemic and like sometimes the house is more, I guess, like comfortable. But for me, I don't, I just don't like that. Yeah.
Well, I remember, I think the first reaction that you had and a lot of people had was like, oh, is he just trying to hook up?
Exactly. Right? Yes.
That's the vibe that, like, that's the message that he sent at first. I think usually I'm a little bit more like, I realized that I was like, shit, maybe I'm not picking. But I read that as, yeah, I'm like, I want to know why he suggested that, right? The thinking behind it. Because, yeah, it could be a pandemic. It could be whatever. But I think most people's initial reaction is like, ooh, you're trying to just, like, hook up. Like, you're yeah. not putting in any effort. And then you want her to come to you? Like, what yeah. are you trying
he
to do?
He did offer to come to my place. But I was kind of like, I just don't like people into my space unless yeah, I'm really comfortable. Yeah. I think another thing, too, like, I mean, we had episodes about the fuckboy and whatever. I feel like I tend to, like, be interested in men that don't emotionally want to commit. Mm. So when I saw that, I was like, you know what? This is, like, I don't want to put myself in the situation again.
Yeah.
So I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
no. And I got really turned off by that statement. And I think at that point, I was, like, a little fed up. So I'm just like, oh, that's sweet. I asked him to choose a place, and he didn't choose a place. And, like, yeah. and he's asking to come over. I'm like, oh. And so then I said to him, like, hey. I was very transparent. I was like, you know, I to be honest, I don't go over to a guy's place over the first date. I'm starting to get the vibe that we're maybe looking for different things. Mm-hmm. And he said, no. He said, oh, all good. Like, I'm getting my second vaccine or something, like, later. But then I was talking to you guys and then my roommate. And she was like, wait, that makes no sense. Because, like, if he's already offering to go on a date and say he already said he'll look for a place, that isn't actually a valid issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I think this is where we were trying to figure out, is he playing games or is he just not the sharpest pencil in the pencil box?
Yeah, or maybe he's just much more chill than I am, you know? Like,
That's a good point. Yeah,
which
yeah.
is like,
just go with the flow and yeah.
Exactly. So I'm just like, I do feel bad because this whole time I was like asking my friends, like, am I asking for too much? Is that weird? Like, I get it. Like, yeah. maybe I'm being a little picky.
What was interesting to me is in our text group, it was the guys who were more like, oh, Mel, no, don't even respond to him. Like, you deserve more than that.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, am I having low expectations too? Because as a woman in LA, I'm yeah. kind of like, I don't know, there could be all these reasons. Yeah. And like, what if I'm okay with him? Just like, maybe it was a vaccination thing or whatever it is. But yeah, I think it was fascinating to me that most of the guys were like, no.
That's
no.
true.
Yeah.
I think it's also because our guys are very protective of us.
This is true, too. Yeah. They're like the big brother kind of.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And but of course, I'm always like with Jan, I'm like, you want to get the benefit of the doubt. And I'm always like, dude, I want to give someone a chance before I really cut them off.
Right,
I may be a little like snarky or like kind of like, ugh. But then, you know, you don't know at the end of the day, right?
So as long as you're safe. Because I think to this point, I was like, as long as you're making it clear to him that you don't want to hook up, then... You know, and then as long as you are going to end up going out to a space that's in public together and your exactly. safety's not compromised, I was like, okay, maybe it is okay to give people a little bit more of a chance. I don't know, not that I'm saying or condoning that yeah, that's yeah. exactly how you should, but maybe it's just like we've been locked away for so long. I'm kind of like, she needs to go on a date. It's been 7 months.
I know, exactly. And so I think that's why, like, after evaluating, like, how I really feel and, like, all this stuff, I, at that point... He responded saying, oh, yeah, somewhere outside might be great. So I was like, okay. Another like...
Let me help you out with... Yeah,
yeah. So at that point, I was like, you know what? I'll choose a place. So I looked up something really quickly. I was like, here, let's meet here at a certain time. It's outdoor seating, blah, blah, blah. So I called it. And also keep in mind, this is a day of the date. This is two hours before the date or an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at that point, I was like, I went into it with I don't, like, give a crap.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this and we're like, okay... Mel, you're going on this date not because this guy is, like, going to be anything near the one or whatever it yeah. is. But this is, like, you're going to go out and have a good time because it's been 7 months since you've had a date.
Yes.
It's now finally summertime.
Yes.
You know, you were doing... We were talking. You were, like, doing your nails. I'm like, just go out and have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, don't even put any expectations on this.
Yeah. And, like, I think for me, like, with summer... With it being summer, I was like... I do want to just, like... I don't want to say have a good time, like, oh, I want to hook up tomorrow.
No,
like,
no. Have a good, yeah.
I want to experience new things.
Yes.
And so for me, dating, it's been a while. So I think I already had it set in my mind, like, I'm going to go on this date.
Yes.
And I don't give a whatever happens, happens. And I think for me, I'm like, usually you're on, like, your best behavior. I was like, I kind of don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to just be me. And, like, whatever happens, happens. So I ended up going on the date. He's definitely attractive, really attractive guy, super nice in person. And we ended up talking for, like, good solid 3 to 5 hours.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And also realized 3 to 5 hours is a big range. Sorry, 5 hours. And I will say this, though. You guys know I'm a talker.
Mm-hmm.
My dates are minimum usually 3 hours.
So 5 hours actually for your 3 hour average is pretty good.
You know, it's
right.
So I think it was just a lot of, you know, getting to know him, and it was kind of good to, like, exercise those muscles again, to, like, talking about certain things. It's been a long time since I met a stranger, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it went well. I am the type of person that just goes deep right away, and I was like, hey, what's your love language? And, like, so I was like. Because also, I just didn't care anymore at that point.
Right, right.
Because I'm already, like, all these, like, different things happened before, prior to the leading up to the date. And I even asked him, like, what was your last relationship? Like, what's your type? Well, just all these little things. And so, we even started talking about, like, how do you process, like, emotions and stuff?
Oh, interesting. And he was responsive to all this conversation.
He was. He literally said to me, he's like, I feel like I'm in a therapy session. And I was like, this is what me and Janet do all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it felt very, like, familiar for me, because we talk about this all the time, but maybe for him it was different. And he was, like, very open about how he, you know, he is not the type to always talk about his feelings and emotions. He's, like, something he wants to work on, and, like, he has a tendency to brush things under the rug. And I think for me, when I heard that, I think as someone who is looking for something more serious, it does concern me a bit, because I think my previous relationship was like that, and actually didn't really work out well for me, because I'm extra sensitive.
Right, right, right.
So having someone that just doesn't want to tackle their feelings, like, as a feeler, is really hard.
Yeah.
I think that was another, not say red flag, but that was another, like, oh, maybe this might not work. And the second thing I noticed is that he actually asked me, like, oh, do you want kids someday? Because, like, I'm still on the fence of that.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I want kids. And I was like, oh, like, I definitely don't want kids tomorrow, but I definitely want, I want it in the future. So that's another reason why I'm like, maybe this isn't actually something, like, I'm having a good time, but maybe this is something, if I had to, like, be really, like real about it, it's not something I would want. And the weird thing that I said to my friends is that, you know, typically at a bar, I'd find him really attractive. But I think learning about all these things and how we're not aligned made me less attracted to him. Because just because I know we're not on the same page.
Yeah. So you actually, the last time you went on a date, you were freshly 30.
I was still 29.
20. Okay, so this is your first date after 30.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So I'm curious, like, because so 7 months, like, actually a lot can change in 7 months, right? So when you think about that time that you went on your last date, like, what were the priorities of what you were evaluating between, like, looks and, like, wanting kids and all these things? Like, do you feel like there was a big difference this time with this date?
I think yes and no. Like, I will say that I'm generally someone that always dates for something more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have a better I have a general understanding of what I want in terms of values and what I want in someone else. But I will say, though, ever since turning 30 this year, I'm more confident in what I want and who I am. That when I spot something I don't really like or don't see compatibility, I'll note it quicker.
From my personal experience, I feel like certain things will start to outweigh, or the weight that I put in different qualities is different, right? Because in the past, I was someone who was like, I could be like, okay, we don't really align on this value of kids maybe, but, like, I'm kind of far away from that, and I still find you really cute, so I think I'll be okay with that. But now I'm kind of like, ooh, because that value now is closer to me needing to execute on that, I suddenly literally just become less physically attracted to you.
That's true. Actually, you're right. You know, another thing as you're talking that I'm starting to, like, really process and realize now during this conversation is that one thing I truly value now that I actually value a lot in my guy friends, like my opposite sex friends, is that, like, I love when a man is, like, super ambitious and, like, really is so good at what he does that he could teach me things about what he does. And so I think as we're talking during the conversation, during the date, he's really interesting. Like, he has so many different hobbies, and like, he works different types of jobs. I'm like, oh, cool. It's also creative. But for some reason, like, I just didn't resonate as much with it as I thought I would. And I was like, oh, and I think that actually is probably the reason why I didn't feel as attracted. Like,
yeah.
I think my other guy friends, like, he was also confident too. Like, he was definitely, he wasn't cocky either, polite and everything. But maybe it's also a personal preference where, like, there are certain things that you probably resonate with more than other people that, like, maybe for me and our, like, our dynamic, I just wasn't really inspired as much as I wanted to be.
You know?
And you know me. I'm like, I love guys who are, like,
ambitious and driven and passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah. And, or that, and, like, also has, like, a, I don't say a track record, but like has like proof or like
has already established themselves.
Yeah, I do like that. Because I think with that establishment, I'm learning. I can learn a lot from that as a new entrepreneur myself.
Right. So knowing already that this guy is not going to be kind of like the one, let's walk through kind of what the date experience was like. Right. So like you show up and were you like, damn, he's hot.
I wasn't like, damn, I was like, yeah. Oh, he's pretty handsome.
And like, I could spend a couple hours on this.
Yeah. Okay. Like,
okay. So you felt him, he was pretty attractive. And so then did you feel like you were enjoying the beginning of it?
Yes. I think I enjoy just being somewhere new and like talking to someone new.
Got it.
I will say that I didn't want to like jump him.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Like, I think I've been on dates before where I felt a little bit like nervous or kind of like, oh, I should be on my best behavior or whatever. Yeah, I didn't feel any of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I definitely felt less of that even more as the day progressed. I think as entering, I already was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I was a little turned off by the messaging a little that when I came into, I was like, whatever. Mm. But I appreciate that, you know, we talked and he bought like first rounds.
Okay.
And then he bought a food for himself and we kind of shared like a side.
Ooh, food for himself. Did he ask you?
I wasn't hungry as much. I just wanted french fries and he was like, you got some of my fries for my meal.
Oh. See, as a guy to take care of the woman, you should be like, let's order you extra fries, you know?
Yeah.
To be like, make sure you have something on your side as well.
That's true. No, I didn't get that. I don't know if I care about that as much, but 5% of me noted it.
Small things.
And then the second round, I was getting hungry by then, so I bought myself a salad. And
you bought yourself. He didn't.
I said, it's okay. It's on me. I said, you bought the first round of drinks. I'll get the second round and I'll buy myself a salad.
Oh, I see. So it's almost like a 50-50 split type of.
I just liked the initial like thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind that. And then we bought one last drink at the end that we kind of shared, but at that point I didn't want to drink anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it was like payment was okay. Like it was fair. But I enjoyed probably 90% of the conversation.
Okay. 90 is pretty high.
Or maybe 85.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's still a relatively, if you just evaluate not the potential of the partner, but just a quality of a date. Yeah. Quality of a time that you go out and you have drinks and like some food with someone. 85% enjoyment. It's a pretty good time.
Yeah. I think overall, I actually have been pretty like, knock on wood, pretty lucky in my first dates. I do enjoy conversation with them.
Yeah.
I will say though, I did intentionally just had him talk a little bit more maybe. And I have a tendency to ask more questions than I should on first dates. I like to see if they will throw it back to me.
Mm.
There are moments where he did, which I appreciate. And he did tell me he's like, this is the most I've ever talked on a date before.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe it's because I do ask like certain specific questions.
You bring it out, yeah.
I do. But, you know, there's some moments I felt my mind kind of wandering in a date. So I'm just like, oh, this isn't really... First of all, I was like, Mel, you're being rude. Don't do that. And two, it's like, I'm not as engaged. Why?
Yeah, you know?
So it's just like, if I'm not interested in the conversation, I'm just like, okay, maybe it's another sign.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it still sounds like it was a good warm-up. This is what you got, I think, what you wanted out of it, which is a first date that was enjoyable, warmed up those muscles again of having conversation, of your gut figuring out, do I like this or do I not?
Yeah. And so I think at the end, like, I'll wrap up my section because I want to hear about Janet's stuff. But he walked me to my car. We talked for a little longer outside my car, which is really nice. Then we hugged and then we said goodbye. So it was like a pretty decent ending. But
the kicker.
Here's the thing. It's funny because we actually talked about this on the date.
Yeah.
Is that we both said that, like, he's like, oh, I'm the same with someone that, like, if I'm not interested, I'll say something. I'll, like, cut it off or whatever. Like, I'm pretty forward about that. And he asked me if I'm the clingy type. Like, I'm really not because I just like space. Yeah. You guys know that too.
You have your own stuff. Well, you have a lot of things going on. You don't have time to cling.
I don't. But it's been almost, ever since the date ended, it's been almost 5 days and he has not messaged me at all.
Not even, like, just to check if you got home or
nothing.
Wow.
Not like have a great weekend. Like just even like, and here's the thing, I'm not expecting like to text me or whatever right away, but I'm someone that just, let's just wrap it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even by now, tell me you're not interested.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
You just kind of left it.
Yeah. Granted, maybe he's busy. Because I'm trying to say he's not interested.
But. Yeah. I mean, what I'm reading from this guy is you need someone who takes a little bit more initiative.
Yeah.
In terms of, yeah. But I think we already established that he wasn't going to be a good potential anyway. But he was a great date.
Good initial step back into the pond of dating in LA for the summer. But that's pretty much what happened with me. I mean, I'm curious if you guys are listening right now, if you're going to comment on the Instagram post for this episode, do you think it's okay for messaging just to end like that? Like, what would you prefer,
what is good protocol?
Obviously I'm still new to, not new, but like it's been a while, so I want to hear what you guys have to think, or what you ladies think about the situation, or even our Asian boss boys, like, would you have messaged a good night or like a wrap up for the weekend? Like, yeah. I just love to hear what you guys have to, what you guys think.
ABGs, anyone out there in the IBTC itty bitty titty committee? If so, I got you. Janet here and sharing one of the best bras that I recently added to my wardrobe. I'm really big on comfort and simplicity when it comes to bras, and my newest go-to has been Pepper's Limitless Wire-Free Scoop Bra in Coco. You may have heard of Pepper already, but if not, they are an unapologetic bra brand for women with small chests founded by Jacqueline Fu, a fellow Asian boss girl from the 626 SGV area. She founded Pepper with the mission to create a bra that finally fits AA, A, and B cups. We love an ABG-founded company, but beyond that, their bras truly are well-made and noticeably fit better. There's no cup gap when you bend or move, and there's a natural lift without the bulky push-up padding. The magic is in the cup design that hugs and scoops you like the most flattering pair of yoga pants. The fabrics are silky smooth and their color options are beautiful. Sienna Rose, Cocoa, the classic black, and more. The bras are also manufactured in a socially responsible factory in Colombia where female heads of households are given the opportunity as well as fair wages and benefits. Pepper's most popular styles and sizes sell out fast, so make sure you head to wearpepper.com and apply the code ABG when you check out to get 10% off your first order. That's W-E-A-R, pepper.com, and use the code ABG at checkout to get 10% off your first order.
For all the Asian boss girls out there who are constantly on the go, I'm sure you're just like me, Mel, and Janet, in that we are big fans of consuming content on the go in audio formats. Whether it be during a light workout at home, on the way to get groceries, or prepping dinner for the night, it's like a gift of found time where we can listen on the go. Lately, I've been listening to The Power of Vulnerability, written and narrated by Brené Brown. Her teachings on authenticity, connection, and courage are life-changing. She addresses whether vulnerability is the same as weakness. And she says too often we lose sight of the fact that vulnerability is also the birthplace of joy, belonging, creativity, authenticity, and love. If you are someone who's looking to level yourself up and become a better version of yourself, take a listen to The Power of Vulnerability on Audible. Every month, members get one credit to pick any title plus two Audible originals from a monthly selection and access to daily news digests like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post, as well as guided meditation programs. Explore all the ways listening on Audible can help improve mind, body, and soul with entertainment, information, and inspiration. Visit audible.com/ABG or text ABG to 500-500. That's audible.com/ABG or text ABG to 500-500.
Skillshare is a sponsor of today's episode. Every human was born to create. Whether you're a dabbler or a pro, a hobbyist or a master, you're creative. As for me, I've been revisiting my hobby in collaging and planning on taking an illustration course on Skillshare called Fun with Faces. What does illustration have anything to do with collaging? Well, in the course, the instructor will go over layering techniques to develop facial features, and I'd like to practice the skill of layering to translate into my collage work. Even though our work at ABG is creative in nature, I think it's really important to exercise other types of creativity. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers the support of fellow creatives. They have classes on a variety of topics such as film and video, creative writing, graphic design, freelance and entrepreneurship, just to name a few. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/ABG and get a free trial of premium membership. Again, that's skillshare.com/ABG.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most. And they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Enough about me. Janet also had a date that same day.
I had a virtual date that night. So okay. While Mel was getting ready for her physical date out in LA, I had connected with this guy over Bumble. I was on a different app. And my dude is a little different. He is much older. So on his profile, it said age 40. But then in his written bio part, he said, I'm actually 45. And it just won't let me set it to that. But what was interesting to me about this guy and why I agreed to a FaceTime right away is there wasn't a lot of chit-chat, and maybe this is me being a stupid girl where I'm falling for good lines, but he said something about like, I'm confident that we'll be a strong match, right?
Yeah, what led him to say that, Janet?
So here's how the conversation went. So it's Bumble, so I had to start the conversation, and on his profile it says that he does creative work. So I was like, hi, so-and-so, what kind of creative work do you do? And he messaged back a couple of lines explaining to me what he does. He's a creative director, works on more of the copy and writing side. And then he kind of, dived into like, what are you excited about this week? So I'm like, this is a good conversation. He seems like a fun person. And then a little bit more conversation, or I just told him, I think we were going to ramen that night. And he's like, I love ramen, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm pretty confident we'll be a good match. And I was like, what makes you so confident? And it was his response that was like, he said, there are a few things. For one, I feel like I could use your bio and it would apply to me. Oh, so I'm like, okay. Also, you seem to have a good blend of humility and strength. And then there's your smile, which seems familiar to me somehow. So maybe I'm a stupid girl falling for lines, but I was like, anytime someone feels very confident in us being a good whatever, that to me, I'm like, okay, I'll entertain this, right? And so ends up he's in Santa Barbara, right? But it's post-COVID. He actually was in SF or whatever, but he's I don't know if he's temping there. I didn't really get into that. So we're like, okay, let's get on a FaceTime tonight. So we went on a FaceTime. I had a glass of wine. He had a glass of water. So already I was like, okay, well, I don't know if this is like the same thing. He kind of treated it like it felt a bit casual. What was interesting was I let him lead the conversation, which most of the time I do on dates. Part of it is a bit of my personality. I love conversation, but I like it when someone kind of leads it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll push it back, but I want you, especially in a partnership kind of position, to be the person who feels good leading.
Yeah.
And so he led the conversation. He has a very calm, gentle demeanor about him, which I was already kind of like, I like this, but I don't know that I would pair well with this, right? Mm-hmm. I think I need a little bit more of an assertive type A guy.
Yeah.
But still, he was nice, and because he works in creative, a lot of our conversation was around that. And that was an enjoyable Friday night for me to just talk about his fascination with like documentaries, and he's interested in kind of like subcultures. We even talked about podcasting. So we talked about how I, was in podcasting. But then this is where I was like, okay, is this going towards romantic or is this work? Because he's like, we're like on Zoom and he's like, hey, we went from FaceTime to Zoom because we were having internet connection issues, which is another tech thing that I'm so happy to not have to start dealing with when I go out on like physical dates. But he's like, hey, why don't we exchange each other's like websites? So I'm like, this feels like a work meeting. So he messaged me his website, his professional portfolio for all the work that he does and like what he's interested in. And it has like his bio. And then I told him, I was like, oh, yeah, I run a podcast. You can look it up on Spotify. And so then I was like, okay, I don't know if this is like just getting more like platonic.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of it, he's like, well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for taking part of your night. And it was only like an hour in. I was like, okay, I mean, I'm down to just keep talking, but that's cool if he wants to like end it. And he said, well, I am in Santa Barbara, but I'd love to like hang out with you in LA. I'll message you sometime this weekend. So I was kind of like, I'm not keeping my hopes up for this. I'm like, this is a great combo, but we don't even know each other that well because we haven't texted that much. So 2 days later, it's Saturday. I get a message from him. Hey, Janet, I just want to be very transparent with you that I'm not feeling like I'm ready to date yet. But if you're open to it, like I'd love to, if we want to ever hang out, if I'm ever in LA. And I did not have any hard feelings because at that point I'm like, sure, I'm like, okay, that's totally fine. Don't even worry about it. If you're ever in LA, hit me up. Cause I actually sincerely would grab drinks with him or grab coffee with him to talk about his docu-series things that he wants to work on. But so my re-entry has been...
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, during this call, it seems very... Because you, I think, Jay, you could tell, you guys both dived into, like, the technical stuff. Like, yeah, I do a podcast, I do creative work, and, like, asking about the work for too long feels like you're networking.
Yes, right? Yeah. You know, honestly, I could tell we were both rusty. He was really kind, and he was very good at leading it, but even just the fact that he's telling me I'm not ready today, I didn't know how... I knew we had very briefly just talked about dating, where he said he was seeing someone, and then it ended. And I had also said I was like, I had very briefly been kind of seeing someone and it ended. But there were points where I could tell, like, we were both kind of like, oh, how do we navigate this conversation again? So maybe this is my lesson learned for as I re-enter the, you know, first date dating world, try to keep it more romantic.
Yeah. No, because I was like to say, like, is there any flirty? Like, even
yeah,
like,
that's true. There was not really.
I know.
Well, he did. Okay. He was like, oh, you look really nice. And maybe I should have. this is on me that I should have said something back. But he kind of showed up in, like, he had kind of surfer dude vibes. So he had, like, the loose curly hair. And I could tell he was in jeans because he had the phone positioned in a way where. So maybe I should have said, you look nice too.
But you also didn't feel like he looked nice. So you're like, I don't want to lie to you.
This is true.
But it's also hard because, like, I'm okay with a guy showing up casual. Like, my guy showed up, like, in a baseball hat. And yeah, I was like, okay. You look good.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, like, it really depends on, like, the direction of the conversation then, right?
Yes, this is true. This is true.
But it's funny because this is the first time I'm actually hearing, like, the details of this date.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's also on him. It's just, like, because he should throw out, like, the most flirtatious stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, when's your last relationship? Like, just little things like that. But, because you're someone, Jay, one thing I noticed with you on dates, you'll go with the flow of the conversation.
Yes.
I'll take the direction, but you won't segue into any, like, let me go here.
Yeah, yeah. Unless I am really interested in it, actually, to be honest. And I think that's why for this, I'm intrigued to see where it goes, but you haven't hooked me yet.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, well, it's now I'm reflecting back on, like, our conversation. I feel like maybe because he was older, and actually in his profile it says he's looking for marriage. Right. And I in my profile, I think I said I'm looking for, like, a long-term partner or something. But I wonder if then he just, instead of going through the romantic stuff, he's just like, I think we're going to be a good match. And he lists these reasons why. And then now he goes in and he's, like, trying to build a rapport with me. Back up a bit. I do my homework before a date. So I actually did look him up.
Okay.
I Googled him. I found his LinkedIn. I found out we have actually some mutual friends. And it was kind of weird because I was like, oh shit, he actually taught at the boot camp that I was a student at for advertising. I didn't tell him this. So yeah. I don't know if he lists. Oh, you know, I don't know if he's going to hear this, but I definitely, like, I could tell that we were coming into this date differently, right? Like, I did preparation in researching you. I had a glass of wine. You were kind of like, I'm in Santa Barbara. I'm not really sure. I'm going to talk about work. And I'm going to, you know, so I was like, okay.
It's hard because you know, one thing I'm trying to, like, figure out, even my own balance of dating is, like, it's hard because I think as women, like, we naturally have, like, a clock sometimes where we feel like we have this, like, sense of urgency. And even talking with Mike on the date, like, he did talk, he's like, that's common, that's I get it, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, but I think women have the tendency to go into, if they're wanting a long-term partner, like me and you, it's hard to go into a relationship saying you're looking for something long-term when the guys are like, the guys are more like, let's see how this goes. Mm. And then we'll naturally see if this progresses to something long-term.
Yeah.
But to be like, knowing you're looking for that, I just feel like it's a little different, it's a weird, I don't know how to describe it, it's a weird balance I feel when I'm on date, when I was on that date, like, I don't want to say I'm looking for something long term, but I kind of am. But I don't want to bank everything on this one date. So I'm kind of just, like, going to see what happens.
Well, the thing is, I think what I've noticed is, like, with dating with older guys, and now that I'm older too, we're actually not shy at all. Like, that's something we address in the get-go is, like, I'm looking for something serious. Like, yeah, I want marriage and kids. And because sometimes now you're talking to some people who might have already been married and divorced. So skating around that, that is definitely something that's, like, changed for me. But you bring up a good point, which is, like, he is, but as a man, like, even if you're interested in something long-term, you're still in something serious right away, and you establish that by saying, oh, we're going to be a good match, because you looked at my profile, and he's like, I think personality-wise would be good. But his way of approaching the courting process is still, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Like, let's get to know each other, and instead of making it very clear, like, I'm interested in you. Because, I mean, to be fair, he doesn't know me yet, right?
Yeah. So I think for me, that's where I feel, like, even as a communicator, I would be like, all right, like, you said all these, like, fluffy things. Now you're on this call with me talking about your work. Like, this is not, that's not, that doesn't match up to this. So I would have been like, if you think we're a good match and you said you're looking for something serious, you should direct the conversation to be more serious.
Then. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we did, he asked me a bit about kind of, like, the work that I do, or, like, the fact that I focus on compassion and things like that in my profile. But, and maybe this is also a little bit reflective of me, that I do talk a lot, or, like, because a lot of my life right now is my work, and my work is my passion and stuff.
Yeah.
So it could have maybe now in recollection, I don't remember who was steering the conversation. Perhaps I was just only giving him work stuff. So maybe that's all he had to go off of. So that's a possibility too.
Yeah. That's interesting. I know for, I think for me, like, I kind of like the juice and the tea right away. So I'm just like, all right, give me your, let's talk about the good stuff. Like, yeah. I mean, for me, this is more like, I want to know about your, like, I like interpersonal stuff right away. So I want to know the understanding. Like, I want to understand your job, but I want to know about you, how you process feelings. I'm a feeler though.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we did talk about kind of the Myers-Briggs stuff. You know what it is? Now I'm realizing as you bring these points up, we did talk about pretty serious stuff, but there wasn't chemistry. I think that's probably why.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, the fact that you're like, even when you're describing, you're like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Jay's not interested. I can tell.
So I feel like that was like, I kind of very lightly dipped my toe back into the dating world. But then the interesting thing is the same day that I get that message from him, I was just chilling in bed on Saturday and I was back on the apps and it's very rare that I get into a connection with someone where there's conversation, right? Where actual back and forth and in real time. And I connected with this guy, a little bit younger, 33.
Yeah.
I think his profile. There was something in our humor that was really similar. So we were bantering back and forth. And we were talking about like travel and all these things. And then I realized that he's in Palm Springs. I'm in LA. That's like not close at all. Right. And I was like, oh, so are you like from Palm Springs? He's like, I'm actually from Minnesota. And blah. I was like, the fuck? Like, why are we connected and talking? And he's like, oh man. Yeah. Like, I wish you were in Palm Springs right now. I was like, but I'm not. Yeah. And the more we're talking, he's like, oh, and you're witty too. Why do I keep doing this to myself? And I was just like, dude, what the
He's the kind of guy that just literally just wants to have fun.
Yeah.
But I can see, like, even from you, when you told me, I was like, it's hard because, like, you get a hodgepodge of dudes on the app.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, we're looking for something more serious. We don't know. Some of them are. Some of them are just like, I just want some human interaction.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that is my evaluation of, like, so far, I feel like the dating landscape as we're coming back from COVID is, like, people are trying to find their footing of if they're looking for something serious or if they're looking for... Actually, I feel like everyone's just kind of, like, desperate to get out and, like, meet with someone. Do you feel that way?
I will say I agree, but I don't know if I fully agree with what you just said. Because even for me, like, I wanted to go on a date because I'm just, like, I want to get out, too.
Yeah.
Like, being stuck at home all day. But I think I am looking forward to... actually dating someone. So I was like, this is why I wanted to go on a date, to meet someone. But I do think people are hungry for interaction.
I don't know
if that's a good or bad thing.
I know Mel and I were actually talking about recently, there's a video that Matthew Hussey put out, who's that like dating expert, and he talked about how like everyone thinks that with pandemic lifting, there's going to be this onslaught of people just trying to hook up, right?
Yeah.
And he said, actually, they surveyed people, and a lot of people are looking for deep connection because they felt like after going through a hard time, the significance or like how important it would be to have a partner.
Yeah. No, I was, Janet sent it over to me. I was watching. I'm only halfway through, but he also said that like it will depend on your age range or like where you are in life, because like there will be people who really just want to hook up and do all that stuff, and other people are just like looking for their partner.
Yeah.
Here at Asian Boss Girl, we're all about sharing the different experiences and stories from the Asian American community. We want to recommend you another podcast. Listen and subscribe to Season 2 of Asian Enough, an LA Times podcast having the conversations we need when we need them the most. Join returning hosts Jen Amato and fellow Times reporters Johanna Buya, Tracy Brown, and Suhana Hussein as they explore the Asian American experience. On Asian Enough, you'll hear interviews with a range of voices, including actresses Sandra Oh and Lucy Liu, author of my favorite novel, Pachinko, with novelist Minjin Lee, drag performer Jujubee, rapper Ruby Ibarra, and more. As fellow Asian American podcasters, we see how important it is for the world to hear our stories and what impact it can have. Asian Enough pushes the agenda forward with talking to people who are making a difference in our community. Season 2 of Asian Enough explores topics like the pandemic's impact on our community, the need for allyship, the ongoing fight for inclusion in media, and so much more. Asian Enough Season 2 is now available to stream on latimes.com or listen, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Y'all, it is finally summertime, and we are actually going to have a real summer this year. So naturally, we've started thinking about what we're going to wear to meet up for picnics and walks on the beach. I mean, this is kind of weird, but who else is looking forward to restaurant dates where they have real napkins? This is where Faherty comes in. Faherty is a family-run brand making high-quality, timeless clothing with modern design and functionality.
I just got the blue mini stripe Isha dress, I-S-H-A dress, which is so comfortable and chic and just perfect for the summer. Faherty is also so confident in the quality of their stuff. They have a lifetime guarantee of quality. They'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. So stock up on all your clothes for summer now. Head to Faherty.com and use code ABG at checkout to snag 20% off all your summer gear. That's code ABG at Faherty, FAHERTY brand.com for 20% off.
Summer is upon us and might serve as an added pressure to some to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Sometimes living a healthy, balanced lifestyle is hard. There's always a new thing that's considered good for you, and it can be difficult to keep up with everything. For me, summer's a time where I'm out and about and soaking up the sun. But it's also a time where I'm craving a drink at the end of the day. Living a healthy lifestyle is important, but it shouldn't stop enjoyment. That's when I reach for Coors Pure. Since it's all organic and has zero sugar, I can enjoy it without feeling guilty. Coors Pure is an organic beer with zero sugar and only 92 calories. It's a refreshing beer to reach for while living a balanced lifestyle. So my friends and I started this random DIY weekday happy hour. We alternate bringing snacks and drinks to someone's house. You already know I'm bringing Coors Pure when it's my turn. It's the perfect crisp drink for the summer. Coors Pure is a perfect beer to celebrate the wins of everyday life. So when you want to enjoy a beer without feeling the guilt, reach for Coors Pure. It's organic, but chill about it. Go to CoorsPure.com to see where you can find Coors Pure. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Albany, Georgia.
How are you feeling now? Like after the two interactions, like what is your like thought process as we're entering summer as a single woman who's wanting something serious? Like, are you hopeful? Like, just walk me through your like thoughts.
That interesting when I heard you say the word hopeful. So I have two conflicting things. At first I was like, I feel really light and good about summer happening, right? Like there is actually excitement in me for the first time in a long time around just dating. Even because I think the last year I've been so focused on I'm looking for a permanent partner, and I've been looking at it as like a thing that is so like, maybe just serious, right? And it's hard sometimes to think about the fun part of dating. And for the first time with things opening up in summer and all these activities, and we have friends that are going to be coming into town that are going to be here for the summer that are single, I'm like excited to just date. But then you ask me, am I hopeful? And I'm not really betting, I'm not banking on meeting someone through the summertime. Stuff. And maybe that's like the jaded part of me. I don't know. But there's this, I'm trying to hold these two opposites right now where I'm like, there's a part of me that very really does feel pretty intensely like sad and a little bit scared now that I'm like 35 and I want a family and I'm not meeting someone. There's a bit of that urgency where I'm like really kind of scared now, right? And had the, and thinking about conversations of like, should I start thinking about freezing my eggs? I don't know, like all that kind of stuff. But then there's this other part of me that's just like, fuck it. It's summer. I want to just, the only way I'm going to meet someone authentically is like when I actually enjoy myself and enjoy dating.
That's true. That's a good point.
How about you? Like, how are you feeling with, because I actually, I felt like I was still actively trying to meet someone during pandemic. And you kind of, you actively, you were like, I'm pausing this. I'm like, not even going to.
It's hard because like, I think I'm always going to be hopeful in the end. And I'm a little, like, I will say I'm a little superstitious or maybe a little spiritual. And, like, I'm not going to lie, I did another, like, psychic session with Carla, who we had on the podcast. And it was a really good session for me, just even personal growth. And, like, I'm a feeler. I could feel myself changing. Like, I think last year I shared that I had a really tough year. But this year I just feel so much better that I feel like I'm, since I'm in a better headspace, I think I'm in a better place to be a good partner to someone. I want that. And I think talking to her made me feel really confident about, you know, maybe this could be the year I meet someone. And I think summer, like, really excites me because the fact, like you said, like, our single friends are moving to LA. And, like, we joke around, like, let's go to happy hour and, like, do all these things. And really, and I do believe that if you're happy and you're good, good things will come to you, right? And so, for me, I'm trying to hold on to that thought. But I will say, though, like, I still don't know if, like, the dating apps is, like, going to be the way I meet someone. But I do, maybe through, like, an event or, like a outing or whatever, I have faith. I will say, though, there's a small fear in me that I think by end of this year, if I don't find someone, I don't want to give myself a timeline, but, like, if I don't find someone, I think I'll be a little sad. Because I do think I'm in a place now where, I mean, I can enjoy my alone time as much as I want. I really do. But I really want to experience something different and new with a partner. But I'm not going to hold me back from anything else, though. But it's like I'm hopeful still.
I think hopeful is a good place to be.
Just a thought from your fellow single friends here at ABG.
Not sure if any of you all feel that way, but I know we get some messages saying like, oh, how do you stay hopeful?
Yeah.
I mean, after, you know, going on terrible dates or trying to date for the last few years. And I feel like we also talked to a lot of listeners that also feel as if, you know, they want to have kids and family soon too.
Yeah.
So I understand the concern. I think it's good to remain hopeful. It's funny because today we literally had lunch with Phil, our married guy friend, and he was like, I'll keep my eyes out for you too. So I know we have friends that are looking out for us.
Yeah.
So it's good to stay hopeful. Dude, I just feel like there's going to be good vibes coming. For me, I'm very affected by the weather, so the sunshine is making me more positive too.
Yeah.
But hope you all are also staying very hopeful out there.
Yes. And now with many different cities and states reopening after the pandemic, we want to hear from you guys. What are some stories or interactions you're having, whether on the apps or off? Share with us everything from your summer flings to, you know, those serious connections that you're making.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support or get some merch at AsianBossGirl.myshopify.com.
If you resonated with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. And if you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube, where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called Dear ABG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is @AsianBossGirl.
If you'd like to send a shout out to a friend, check out our link tree and our link in bio on our Instagram and click on shout outs. And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all of her magic on our episodes, including this one.
Yes, we want to hear your story. So please DM us at AsianBossGirl, email us at hello@AsianBossGirl.com. But for now, we're going to enjoy the rest of our day, maybe get some happy hour, enjoy this sunshine we still have, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye.